Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
This is I Should Be Writing, episode 39 in season 17. If I'm going to say the episode first, I might as well just go with it.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next.
Hi there, my name is Mer Lafferty, and I'm your host and have been since 2005. We stream live on Twitch on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then I edit them and throw them into the feed. That's how I podcast. One of these days I gotta streamline it. It's been a while, but I am back. I was gonna stream yesterday, but I was exhausted. Seriously exhausted. And that's one of the things I'm going to talk about today. I always forget the time zone thing, so I always say, like, good morning or good afternoon, but I try to remember that other people might not be having the same holidays as America. Let's see. I've not been doing much of anything. I went on another big push to finish out my book. Got it turned in on, well, about an hour ago. Finished it Sunday night, sat on it yesterday and thought a little bit about it. Tweaked a couple of things this morning and then sent it off. It's in. It's done. I hope. God, I hope. If you're new, this is a book I've been working on for quite some time. COVID pandemic lockdown thing kind of made it even longer. And now I'm going through frequent edits, so... The last comment was, we're very close, so I hope, I really hope. But yeah, that is both what I've been working on and my good news, because I'm just, yeah, I turned the book in, and I'm dedicated to taking time off and banging my knee on the desk. I was glad I had a stream today, because that actually made me get out of my pajamas and get a shower, so thank you for that. What I'm reading, I found myself sliding backwards into comfort food, and I'm reading more early Stephen King. I got Different Seasons on Kindle so I could read The Long Walk and Apt Pupil. No, The Long Walk is Bachman Books, and I already have that. Different Seasons is Apt Pupil and The Breathing Method and Rita Hayworth and The Shawshank Redemption and The Body, I think. So, let's go to your news, or if y'all are working on anything, or reading anything that's interesting, let us know in the chat. But, let's get to the good news. First good news I want to say, showed up in the Discord. Is Christian here? I don't see Christian here, but we gotta talk about the news. Christian has a story in Clark's World. It's out. I'm going to put a link in the chat, so congratulations. We'll go ahead and we'll hit the yay button now, but if she peeks in, we'll hit the yay button again for her. Tree Lobsters has big news. In celebration of Pride Month, my youngest texted me this morning to come out as non-binary. That is an awesome thing that your kid feels comfortable enough to tell you and finally found themselves, and I think it's awesome. So congratulate your kid for me. That's great. I know that things like pronouns and or name changes, if that's something they're going to go with, will be a little tough to get past, but I think you will. because the way you announced it sounded pretty damn proud. So, good on you, because my daughter told me a friend of hers was trans, and I just said, thank goodness, because he was getting support as an adolescent from his parents, and I'd heard so many other kids not getting support from their parents, and just, I love hearing that kids are comfortable enough, when they're comfortable enough to come out, because it's huge. So, yay Tree Lobsters, yay Tree Lobsters Kid. An author friend of mine also emailed a bunch of people today and came out as non-binary, and I don't talk to them very often, but I did reply, so I just gotta remember there's gonna be a new name there as well. But you know, people go on about how they don't want to learn the new names or the new pronouns, but you know what? They're really fine with something going from Miss Jones to Mrs. Smith. They're fine. No problem. Nobody complains. Ever. So, think about it like that. If somebody asked you to do new pronouns or a new name, ask if you would be similarly uncomfortable thinking about a married friend who was changed their title and their last name. Christian Writing is here! Wait, we didn't hit the yay for Tree Lobsters, so there's yay for Tree Lobsters. And yes, Christian, we were just talking about you. We got the link in the chat, so congratulations on your publication, and yay. So, awesome. All right, so, yes, and happy Pride to anybody listening, if you're out or if you're not out and thinking about it. Much support and love to you, too. It's really personal and difficult, and do it on your own terms. But remember, there's a lot of people out here who are rooting for you. If anybody else has any news, put it in the chat or put it in email. I forgot. I didn't check. I thought I got a thing in email. Talk amongst yourselves for a minute. Okay, I've addressed all the good news that came in. So, yes, I finished the book. I spent from about 2 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. on Sunday to finish it. I feel good about my changes. I feel nervous about the fact that she asked me to cut 5,000 and instead I added 4. So, let's see how that turns out. And, I was thinking, I was watching an episode of Schitt's Creek. And people don't explain to each other how they came across information if the viewer has seen that already. For example, and if you're new to Schitt's Creek, this is a season 4 spoiler. They find a pregnancy test in Alexis's trash. They think she's pregnant. Turns out that it was a visiting friend who was too nervous to wait, so when she was visiting, she took the pregnancy test. And then it's all a comedy of errors because she thinks they're talking about her wanting to go to college and they're talking about dealing with her pregnancy. But no one says any nouns, and so they all think, they all use the word it. So it's funny and it gets fixed, but then when David comes in and they say Alexis isn't pregnant, they move on from there. They don't say who is. They don't say how they found out. Because we know that. And I was reading through my book, and I bet I could cut about 1,000 words of people explaining to someone new, something that the reader has read earlier. So it's, you know, it's like people wonder why they just hang up the phone on TV. I've never understood that, why they never say goodbye. But that's been a standard thing forever. But as we said last week, at some point we're going to have to put the book down and walk away. And knowing that I'm going to go through a copy edit, I'm okay with putting it down, with turning it in now. But that's just one of those weird little fictiony things that I don't always think about until I see somebody else do it. And I'm like, why didn't you explain the rest of the story to them? And the answer is because we are really the intended audience, not the person they're delivering the news to. And we already know it. Because I had like a, they're humans who are in a big room with a bunch of like rock people, and the rock people are having a big fight, and the humans are like, well, we'd like to help out, but you know, soft person and big rock just doesn't go. And so some people are still trying to help in different ways, and another guy's like, let's get out of here. And I realized he says it like 3 times in the scene, and that's too much. So I had to figure that out. And that's not really on the topic I decided to do, except for the fact that yesterday I realized I was completely brain dead from the big push to finish the book. Again, it is a major emotional upheaval. And so I want to talk about a couple of myths in writing and creativity and publishing and stuff, because I think a lot of problems people have, especially early on in their career, is I'm feeling a way that doesn't seem to be the way other writers feel, and so I'm doing something wrong. And it was that kind of thinking that made me take a 10 years off of writing. Because I wasn't as happy going to the typewriter as Ray Bradbury said I needed to be. And then I had the realization of maybe I don't write like Ray Bradbury. Whoa. So the first thing is, one of my mantras this year is emotions are not reality. They might be. But, you know, sometimes if you're thinking you're feeling a weird way about something, it's possible that's what you're deciding based on what you feel may not work. I'll give you an example. A lot of people think, especially with their first book, that after they hit the end, they will feel this sense of pride and completion and satisfaction and, you know, and I'll say pride again, because it's just like, I did a thing. I feel exhausted. And I feel immediately sure that what I wrote was crap. Or what I fixed, I didn't fix good enough. And it is absolutely exhausting. And I almost always forget to give myself time off. And I promised you guys I would continue to stream this week, and I want to, but I could not yesterday. I just did not have it in me. But I think a lot of, when people don't feel good about their art, when they don't feel pride or satisfaction or completion or whatever, they worry that there's something wrong, and it's not. That is, I've gotten to where whenever Ursula Vernon tells me she's finished a book, I say, oh, I'm sorry. Because I know how she's feeling. Not, I'm sorry she finished the book. I'm sorry about the feelings I know she's having, which suck. And I'm going to be 48 this year, and I feel like I'm just now learning about emotions. I mean, I knew about emotions, and I certainly had them, but the realization that they're not real was huge to me this year. And it sounds, of course they're not real, but you know, some days my career will be exactly the way it was yesterday, but I will feel good and accomplished yesterday, and I'll feel like it's in the pooper today. That's what I mean when I say emotions aren't reality. If you feel like your stuff is crap. It may not be. It probably isn't. But that's what the emotion tells you. Sometimes when I'm waiting for something, usually money, and I check every day, and I get into this pattern of checking the mail or checking my email or checking my bank account to see if they direct deposited it, and it becomes a routine, and it becomes part of my day. And then it comes. And the next day I'm like, I have to look for the money. Oh, it came, right. And then I feel slightly let down because I trained myself to be hopeful and then do the thing and then be sad and then wait for the next day. But I don't have to do that anymore because it's done. The money came. It's like a emotional inertia. And I think a lot of people feel that when they've signed with an agent or get their first book deal because something monumental happened, but you don't feel any different today than you did yesterday. And shouldn't you feel like a real writer, whatever that feels like? No, because you're used to feeling the way you were. It takes time to adjust. Like, emotions are like a big yacht. You know, you can't just spin on a dime. By the way, I'm not a psychologist. I feel the need to say that. So if anybody's having trouble, I can't promise any advice I'm saying will actually help. But sometimes you just need to step outside. Other writing myths. There's a lot of stuff that people tell newbies, and you who have been here for a while will have heard me say this, but I need to say it frequently, and that's, you don't have to write every day. However, writing every day is good practice, and like, I call it like training wheels, because it's training you to go and do the work maybe when you don't feel like it. Because when you have a deadline, you have to work, even if you don't feel like it. And a lot of people, when they look at their art like pure art, only want to do it when they're inspired. And that doesn't work. Not if you want to make a living of it. And that's what I talk about on my other show, which I'll get to tomorrow with Ursula Vernon. But it is... it is important to train yourself to write when you don't feel like it, or when things in your life are busier than usual. If you're in the habit, you'll get it done. Once you know that you can write when you don't feel like it, once you know that that ability is there, then you write when you need to. And you can take a day off without feeling like you're not a real writer. You can embrace the binge life. My friend Annie Belay does binge writing and is amazing. And, you know, she'll sit there for a weekend and put down thousands of words. It's amazing. So... write every day is a good benchmark if you're trying to train yourself, but it is not a necessity to be a real writer or to even be a professional writer. I recently reread War of Art and I got mad because it had a completely different experience for me the second time I read it years later. And that's because if any of you subscribe to my former agent's newsletter, Jennifer Udden, her latest one is Who Does the Laundry? Because we hear mostly from men about men how to be productive. And a lot of it is delegate and, you know, focus on the most important things, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, yeah, those guys were able to do stuff because they either had the money or their spouse was willing to do all that stuff that is beneath them so they could be more productive. Who does the laundry when you're sitting there going, only do the most important things to yourself? Don't know. So the War of Art's like, Tolstoy had 12 children and he still wrote. And I'm like, show me where Tolstoy took care of 12 children and raised 12 children. Show me that receipt. So what other myths should we bust? There is, of course, the substance abuse one. There's the, and, you know, I've even said it, you know, I reward myself or calm myself down from a rejection with wine, but I don't mix that with my writing. You know, a drink at the end of the day signals work is over. And I can't imagine all those writers who would drink while they wrote. And it does not increase your creativity. And romanticizing substance abuse in order to fuel your creativity just does harm. That's all it does. Ideas are precious. Yes, that is, people are so scared of stealing ideas. So scared. And it just, for one thing, on a legal standpoint, it doesn't exist. Copywriting ideas is not a thing. You can't accuse somebody of plagiarism because their book is kind of like yours. And a lot of people won't say what their ideas are, or they won't. I knew somebody who wouldn't join a writer's group. We had the same dream. We were at the same spot in our career, which is, you know, nowhere, trying to write stories and get them published, and didn't know much about the thing at all. And I'm like, you know, you want to join a writer's group with me? And she's like, no. I had my idea stolen once. Never again. I can't. And I'm like, but that's like saying you won't get in a car because you got into a wreck once. I mean, yeah, it's traumatic, but most of the time that's not going to happen. And even if it did, people would come up with different things. If you go to our Kick in the Pants workshop that we offer on Patreon, the people who are in that will tell you that everyone writes from the same prompt. And even though the prompt is obscure, it's like really vague, but we get so many different story ideas coming out of that from one prompt. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. If you have an idea, just write it. I wrote a series of novellas about the afterlife, and in one of them I actually had an idea vendor who was sort of like selling ideas that were addictive because people would just buy more and more ideas and not do anything with them. If you have an idea, write it. And if you have an idea triggered by something else, if you watch something and think that this gives me an idea of a story to write, write it. Who cares? We are so worried about things that are coming, you know, stories that are coming out that may sound like ours. I talked last week about the TV show Dark Matter, or did I talk about it in chat? I can't remember. Anyway, the TV show Dark Matter, which is about six people waking up on a spaceship and they don't know who they are. That's almost exactly the beginning of Six Wakes, to the number of people. And I got really upset because I was sure that somebody was going to mark the parallels, not understand how publishing works. And the show came out before Six Wakes did, but only by a matter of months. So my book was done and in production. But that scared me. It really did. And no one cared, so that was good. I think at this point I'm going to end the podcast for the RSS feed. If you're interested in listening to our conversation further, then check out patreon.com/mightymur if you'd like to support and get all of these episodes unedited, or you could watch us live for free on twitch.tv/mightymur. So thank you for listening to the podcast. To find out more about me, you can email mightymur@gmail.com. Or go to merverse.com to see all the work I do. On Twitch and Twitter, I'm Mighty Mer, and I hope to see you next time, and until then, you should be writing. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But I